I just want to listen to a couple of tragic 30-something-year-olds drone on about the typical millennial nonsense. I hear you say. Well, you've come to the bloody right place, my friend. As today, we have architect, ultramarathon runner, and all-round legend, Rosie Blezard, on the pod. And in this episode, we chat Rosie's recent honeymoon and some of the highlights. We get a bit more serious as we chat mental health, body image and wellness hacks, some of the outlook on life transitions we went through from our 20s to our 30s, running, of course, the good and the bad, and our favourite Harry Potter books. Yeah, we are that cool. So sit back, relax, pop a couple of marine collagens, and enjoy. Rosie, on what is a very cold evening, a very warm welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the UK, because you have been away recently. Where have you been, please?
We have been very jammy, and we had a lovely trip to Japan and Australia as part of our honeymoon. So had a very lovely 13 days in Japan and then 8 days in Australia.
And now back to the Great British winter.
Weirdly though, I quite like it because I do not fare well in the sun, and the last 8 days of like 30 degree plus weather. So when we got off the plane at -2, I was like, this is a part of my soul. Yeah.
A lot of your Strava uploads from Australia were like, this is killing me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you persevered.
Yeah. It's more like the humidity. Have you ever seen, you know, the Friends episode with Monica and her hair?
In Barbados.
Yeah, that was me. Like, that was Australia for me for 8 days.
Links will be in the description below. Yeah. What were your top three highlights of Japan, and what were your top three highlights of Australia?
Oh, Japan. Hakone is amazing, where Mount Fuji is, but just like the town is beautiful and going up the mountain is just amazing. We ate some really great teppanyaki. That was good. Just all the food. We ate a lot of food. And running in Japan was good. James came running with me in Japan. So James is my lovely husband, new
Big
husband.
Shout-out.
Yeah, good man. And it was really, really nice. They've got a very nice, like, running culture out there.
In what way?
Everyone does it.
Everyone runs.
There's lots of, like, they've preserved really nice, like, in every city, there's really beautiful parks that you can just, and they're big, like, I said, they're huge. So it's kind of, you can get to a park and just run around that park, and it's like a little pocket in a sort of really urban, dense environment. It's just beautiful, and you kind of get this piece of...
Not too dissimilar to London.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like getting into Regent's, and then you suddenly get this whole, like, beautiful... Or, like, Richmond, it's just... Yeah. You get these little, like,
flowers,
pockets.
Trees, deer.
Yeah. Stunning. Yeah. So that was... Yeah. Good. Japan was amazing.
Mountains, food, and running.
Yeah.
Solid.
The best.
Australia.
You're going to... food. It's got a great clear
mountains
theme.
And running.
Neither of those. But oh yeah, the food was great. That was...
Where in Australia were you, sorry?
So we were on the East Coast. So we did...
Gold Coast.
Brisbane, Cairns, Port Douglas. Sadly, we didn't get to go to the Daintree Rainforest because the cyclone destroyed it like 2 weeks before. And so it was all like flooded. So we were up on that edge of the coastline up near Cairns. And then we came back down and went to Hamilton Island, which is like phenomenal. And did the Great Barrier Reef, and then back to Sydney, and then home.
What was the Great Barrier Reef like? Was it like mind-blowing,
mixed.
Or was it...
I'd say it's
you have a slightly underwhelmed look in your eyes right now. So no offence to all Australian listeners.
The Great Barrier Reef, it was beautiful, but like we went and we did the, like, we went on a boat with loads of people, and then we stayed later, so we did this thing
was
where,
it like a booze cruise?
No, it was like a family cruise, like, there was like 300 people, and honestly, it was like the start of a triathlon. It was like flippers being kicked in the face. You're all in like a... Actually, I was quite grateful for the stinger suit because it's stinger season, so you can't go in the water without a full, like, head covered, arms, gloves, the whole works, so you don't get stung by jellyfish. And like, but you're just in the water with like 300 other people and it was just carnage and you're getting like, yeah, it was weird. But then when they left and we stayed for like this thing where you stay on the reef for the evening, then there's like 20 people in the water. That was beautiful. And like the coral is amazing. The fish are amazing. And it was really, really nice. But it was like the painful first bit of commercial carnage of hundreds of people.
Lots of people, but
then everything is, and like what they're trying to obviously do is keep everybody
sees that, so that doesn't count,
right? Exactly. And they're trying to, like, I totally get it, like they're trying to keep everybody in the same part of the barrier reef so that the rest of it stays as it should.
Yeah,
so you kind of
completely fuck it up.
Yeah, pretty much. But it does make you sad that you realize like we're already fucking out and just that portion of it, and it's quite depressing in a way.
So that was, that didn't get into the top three.
No.
Okay.
Like, but Hamilton Island is beautiful. I definitely, that would be top, just because it's, and you get given a little golf buggy and you drive around the island in the golf buggy, because it's too small for cars, so it's great.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's a couple of cars, but like if you stay there as like a tourist, they stick you on a golf buggy and you just get it for the, which is really, really fun.
That is quite fun. And for someone who doesn't have a driving license, such as myself.
Really?
Yeah, it's shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a terrible driver. I have a license, but I'm a terrible driver.
Your golf buggy game? Outstanding.
James wouldn't let me drive it.
Really?
Well, because he knows I'm a terrible driver.
That's the patriarchy.
Yeah. Well, although, I can't, with driving, he can have, because I'm terrible. Like, I just think it's fear. It's fear-driven. It's like my skiing. It's like, I don't mind doing the actual, I like skiing and I like driving. I'm just afraid of all the other people doing it near me, which you can't avoid.
Are you a good skier?
I'm average. I'm like happy and confident. Like I'll go down the mountain.
You're just being modest here. You gave me a wink. Like, yeah, I'm shit up.
I just don't like the other, like people. The fear of the other people. Like, yeah. So I'm like, oh God. Yeah. Tentative.
How's the transition back to regular life been post Japan and Australia?
Hard.
Really?
Yeah. Just like, I can't remember, like, I don't know how often you get to do it, but I haven't been on a holiday that's longer than a week. I mean, it's such a privileged thing to say to be able to go on holiday for a week anyway. But, like, you know when you go on holiday for a week and it takes, like, the first couple of days to
get into it,
chill and download, and then you have, like, 2 days, and then you're like, and now we're re-uploading for going back, is that I haven't done more than a week for, like, since uni, I think? Maybe a bit later. Like, I might have done 10 days, but... And so this is the first time in ages that I've been away for... 3 weeks, like it was wild, and it was so nice to kind of just be in a completely different reality. Like, it was so, I kind of forgot what that feels like to be like, oh, it was just time, just had no, it was so nice. And then I got back and I was like, oh yeah, have to,
I get it,
do normal things.
I mean, I don't know if I mentioned, but I'm actually going to South America in a couple of weeks.
How long are you going for?
About 3 weeks.
Yeah, so you get to properly download.
Yeah, but then the thing is, you lose all concept of, like, reality and having to work.
Yeah.
And having to live like a regular human. Yeah. Are you back into the flow of things now?
Yeah, I think we were quite... because we went over Christmas, everyone shut down. Like, I love Christmas, because you know when it's like... You know when you go on holiday in the middle of the year and it keeps going, so then you get back and you feel like you're just playing catch-up and you're like, oh my God, like, I'm just behind. And whereas, like, Christmas, because everyone stops, or, like, majority... It's actually, like, it's quite nice. So I've got back and I didn't have, like, a billion emails. And, like, so it's been as smooth as it could have been to transition back. But, like, the jet lag's interesting. You're like, oh, good, 5 a.m. wake up, like, and you're just fully awake.
But that's
like,
standard for you, isn't it?
5:45. So the 45 minutes means a lot. I'm like, I need that back. I do want it back, yeah. But, yeah, no, I think it's been all right. It could be a lot worse. Yeah. But I do miss, like, suspending time. It's a very nice privilege to have to just step away for a little bit.
And unlike James, you're not off for 3 months.
I know. He came back and he was like, oh, I'm just going back to gardening leave, playing golf. Like, see, the thing is, I don't know how good his golf was before. So I'm like, how much have you improved? Like, I really want to know. So I need to ask somebody who's played with him at the beginning and at the end to be like, has he spent the 3 months like, because, oh gosh, yeah, like, but he did, yeah, he had a couple of goals, he wanted to get back to a sub 25 minute 5k, which he did in Japan, yeah, so he's gone, yeah, so he was very happy with that, so he had a couple, I think he had lots of house jobs to do, of which he's done, like, 50%.
Are you tasking him?
No, he tossed himself.
Okay.
He like wrote them out all on a list, and I was like, and I may have added a few sneaky ones. Yeah. Tried to write it in his handwriting.
Amazing.
But there's a couple that I'm like, yeah, that's like 5 years. We still haven't done that, like replacing a door handle on a door. We're just like, oh god. But yeah, so he's done some. He's getting there.
Good man. Rosie, you are someone, and you'll probably be too modest to admit, but from the outside looking in on your life, you're absolutely smashing it. Obviously, architect, back from an amazing honeymoon, recently married, for those who haven't put two and two together. Incredible runner, good setup in London, beautiful dog.
Yeah.
Smashing it, not to imply otherwise, but what I find sometimes with people is that the external, I don't want to say facade, but view that people have can sometimes be slightly conflicting with maybe how they feel internally. And as this initially started as a bit of a mental health podcast, is that a tension that you find? And what are maybe some of the challenges, or one of the challenges that you kind of deal with that maybe someone from the outside looking in wouldn't know?
Very nice things that you said. Thank you for some lovely compliments.
Only said it to get some compliments back. Come on, give it now, Jay.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you look at it and it's like, if you look at a short period of time, like the last year, I've been so lucky. You know, when like things just align and you're just like, oh, it just, and it just, yeah, you're right. On paper, it looks, and it has been great. And I've had some really big like peaks, which I think, but I think there's like, it takes, it's the same as anyone when they try and like, I don't know, they want to do something specific with their life, and you like, you see the overnight success and you don't see the like 10 years of work they've done beforehand to do it, and you're like, oh, they've always been as good at that, and you're like, no, they haven't, they've been working on that in the background and no one paid any attention. And I think it's taken like a good 10 years of work, like self-work, of like trying to feel like comfortable in yourself, I think. And it's, yeah, it's taken me a long time to feel comfortable with myself as like a person, as like what I wanted to achieve in life, feeling confident. And yeah, it's taken a lot of, and I think of finally getting to a point of like equilibrium.
Good work.
But I think, thanks. but I think it's been really fortunate in the last couple of years that it's been like people that I've met or things that have happened that I've been able to do that have given me that confidence that I think, if you asked me 5 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, no, like definitely totally different person. I think, and we've talked about it, is that like, if you speak to my friends who've known me for a long time, like, everyone's like, I'm a very serious person. And it's
like, bloody hell, crack a smile, will you? Fucking hell.
Like, but it's like certain people that I've met that brought out being like a bit more fun and a bit more laid back and a bit more like, okay, like, and like James is a big one, but there's like certain friends as well that will bring out like, and it's important, I think it's important, that otherwise I think I'd fall into a category of being quite like glass half empty and very serious and very like, you know, yeah.
How much of that, and obviously it's hard to say, but would you attribute to just getting older, more mature, turning 30, and how much would you attribute to all the, as you say, like the 10 years of self-work or whatever you want to call it, like, would you say, or it's a combination of both, what would you say? And also, as a build on that, is that something that you feel like you kind of constantly need to work on? Because if you don't, you might fall back, regress into those less confident, secure ways.
100%. Yeah. Like, I think you have to do the work. Like, and everyone says that, you know, like a cheesy throwaway line, but it's like, if you're not, and some people are like naturally more positive or like, and that kind of more upbeat, but I think if you're not naturally that way for whatever reason, that it is a constant, like, you have to kind of fill that cup and you've got to figure out what you need to do that. And different things work for different people. And sometimes I try stuff that still doesn't work. And like, I cannot meditate for shit. Like, just because I'll sit there and I'm like, this, I've been told this is really good and I know it's going to help me and I'll do it. And then I'm like, I've done it for 5 minutes and nothing's improved. And I just, and so I think, yeah, it takes a long time to figure out what works for you. Yeah. And I think it's a mixture of the two. You're right. It's like 50-50. I think is that when you finally find stuff that works for you and you're like, okay, I can rely on these things, that helps. But then there's also, it's the double-edged sword, isn't it? Is that like, you can't necessarily rely on them. And as we talked about, for me, like one of them is running, but it's like, you can't put everything in that basket because you might not always get to do it for whatever reason. And then there's also an element of like, I think, yeah, you're right. As you get older, you kind of get, and if you're fortunate enough that like, timing of things happen, that if you get that level of stability and you feel like you kind of know what you're doing, or like a bit more than you did when you were 25, you're like, it just gives you that kind of little bit more confidence each time.
It's such an interesting point about the meditation, because I feel exactly the same. Probably say it doesn't seem to work for me. I probably haven't persevered enough to see the benefits of it. Because I'm probably quite an impatient person. I'm sat there. Because, you know, with like a running or a stretch or even like reading, you get like immediate tangible benefits.
Yeah.
Whereas meditating, you're like, ooh, me and my own thoughts, that's not a good combination of things.
You're like, I don't want to be here.
And what makes it worse is that there's an expectation that it's supposed to make you feel better.
Yeah.
So you go in and you're like, this is supposed to make me feel better. And then, if it doesn't, you're like, what's the point of this? I find that a little bit, I'm going to sound like a right cynical C word right now, but almost with like gratitude, a little bit, right? I try and be a relatively grateful person, but I think because you hear like, oh, gratitude is like the answer to all sorts of like negative thoughts and self-talk, you go in with this almost unrealistic expectation of the effect that it's going to have on you.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't, that can kind of make a already bad situation even worse.
Yeah.
And I think to your point, it's like finding out what works for you to try and offset whatever demons it might be.
Yeah. Because I was like, the same thing with gratitude. So I was like, oh, right, gratitude list and it will help. And some days it does and some days it doesn't. And then you're like, and you also feel like sometimes you're like, am I just like doing the latest fad? And it's like, and then actually the one that I found that really worked for me, that someone told that I was like, why have I not thought about this before? It was just such an interesting, was that someone was like, you need to, instead of doing like a gratitude list, they were like, they asked me what my happiest time in my life was, of like my current memories that I have, because my memory is awful. Like, I can't remember anything like pre-age 7. But like, you know, think of like a really happy period. And it was like, instead of like writing a gratitude list in the mornings, write a memory list. So every morning write a memory from that period of time that really brought you like that, you know, that level of joy that you're like, that was, you can feel it when you really think about it.
Yeah.
And to have that, because it's a real thing and it puts you back in that place. And it's, and you know what, it works. It's quite nice. I kind of like, I thought it was gonna be one of those, another like, oh no, it's like, is it gonna work? And I'm kind of quite deep in it now and it kind of works.
This is interesting. So this is something you do, is it, so talk to me, it's like beginning of the day, first thing you do, you write down 1 point from your life that you're like, boom, I was really happy doing that.
Yeah.
And
are
you going to add this to the list? No.
Blank. Of course I can.
At all costs. Okay, interesting. And does it have to be from a specific time, an age, a recent thing, a long thing? Like, what's the kind of structure behind it?
Mine is only because I've got like, I've pinpointed like an area of time when I was like, that was like a whole other level of like euphoria happy. But I think, but if someone's kind of got more like pockets, I think you can, it just puts you, what is it? It kind of like realigns your, I guess in a way it might work like how meditation works if I could do meditation, but I'm sure maybe people who've got a better, you know, who actually are very accomplished at meditation, is that, you know, how it's supposed to put you back in that sort of like emotional state of peace, or like, you know, whereas I think doing it from a memory for me is easier, because like you're saying, you get that immediate, like from like, you know, reading or a run or a stretch, you're getting that immediate thing. With a memory, it's like you're getting that immediate hit again of like, oh, that's how it felt. And if you do it in the morning, and it kind of just like, it puts you back in that place of like, that was really happy. And even if it's just for like 5 seconds, just resets you.
What a lovely way to start the day.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing that for?
Not that long. It's one that I just, like, someone's...
Today was your first day.
I think I'm like 50 odd days in. I've got, okay. You've got like a note, you know, classic notes list on your phone. And it really works. And it's just like...
So that's really interesting because I don't... Do I journal? I don't know. Basically, I've got a journal.
Mm.
And in it, it's like you write 5 bullet points per day of things that you did or things that you enjoy. And it is quite like a nice thing to do because even when you've had a bit of a shit day, generally speaking, you can look back and at least find a handful of things that you quite enjoyed. And it kind of helps reframe how you look back on your day.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it. So I started it at the beginning of last year. So I'm into the second year. And what's quite nice is because you've got like one date per page, you can look back at the things that you did this time last year. So it's kind of similar to the memory point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can look back and be like...
That brought me joy last
year. And it's like, oh, that was a nice day. And like, oh, went for a meal with Greg. That wasn't such a nice day. Do you know what I mean? Like you can... Yeah, you look back. Yeah, so I like that. Is that your... So is that, would you say, your one, in addition to running, non-negotiable wellness activity hack, or do you do other things? Like what are you saying about, like, because we all know the stuff we should do, right? In terms of like the diet, sleep, exercise, blah 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 blah. Is that like your kind of one left wing shout in terms of what you do, left field choice, what you do in terms of like wellness activity?
I am the stereotypical type A, write a to-do list, all that kind of jazz, and I've got a daily, I've got an everyday
list. This is beautiful. I love how basic we are.
I'm so like, but do you know what? Even the list and like ticking the list off brings me joy.
This needs to be discussed.
Yeah.
I literally on my to-do list put like write to-do list just so I can give myself a little tick.
Yeah. And you're like, and it's like,
it's basically the only thing I've achieved that day.
But nothing wrong with that. And like we joke, and it's like, but it's been around for years where everyone's like, you should get up and make your bed. Because it's like, at least if nothing, you've done nothing the rest of the day, you get back into a made bed at the end of the day, you're like, well, there you go. I did that.
I'm not a total useless.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's kind of like, I think we're just taking those things and everyone's just like taking them to the next level, aren't they? And we're like, well, I'm going to add things to my list. And like, so I'd say it's doing a memory, which is nice. Always a run. Supplements. I'm a big supplements person.
Like on the gear. Like proper.
Like, all the like, hopefully this will help me stop aging and also not injured. And
what
all those
supplements
things.
Are you talking about? Fish,
oh, God.
Fish oil.
What am I
turmeric.
Cordyceps mushrooms.
Okay.
Vitamin D.
Ah, classic.
Always. Yeah. Iron.
Yeah.
For women, it's iron.
Yeah.
Collagen. That's marine collagen, which I...
Big in Australia.
Yes. I recommended the marine collagen to one of your other pals, Fergus, who doesn't like fish. And he was like, and this is for his running training. And he was, and I was like, it's got no flavour. It's like, I was like, you won't taste it. And then he bought it and I got so much shit for it being like, all I can taste is fish. And I was just like, and he had to, he was so like, he was going to do it anyway. And he was committed. So he was like necking it. Every day.
Brilliant.
And it's got no flavour. He's made it up.
This is becoming a thing. So Amy takes that stuff. The Zuki. Is that a brand?
I've got this like one that's like a powder that you can put into like tea, smoothies, whatever.
Okay.
And this is where I think he was going wrong. He was doing like the whole hit in one thing. Whereas I have like a teaspoon like 3 times a day.
And what's that supposed to be? Because it's supposed to help, like, your nails, your hair, your stuff.
But this one's, like, it's also, like, joints, like, just recovery, cartilage. Yeah. Like, cause this one's, like, run easy. Like, what, you know, so that's why I've got it. But it also is, like, the main one is, like, does your hair.
I love this. So I'm a supplement fiend.
Yeah.
Like.
This is a little pill box.
Literally.
Good sound effects.
Yeah, that's great.
Do you think it's an age thing? I feel like it's, like, you look back on it now and I'm, like, at 20, I would be like, I'm not doing any of that. And then now I'm like, line them all up every morning. Like,
and just,
And hope that it helps.
Otherwise you're like, fucking hell, it's 200 quid down the pan each month. But...
Yeah. Like, Yeah. But yeah, so that's one of my non-negotiables. Always good run. Always some dog time. That's a good non-negotiable to make you happy.
Logan.
Yeah.
Your Labrador.
The best dog on earth.
How long have you had him?
He is almost... He'll be 4 in September. He's a lockdown dog.
Okay.
So, yeah. But, yeah, we got him as a puppy in 2020, November 2020.
He is very cute.
He is the best.
Were you tempted to do, like, one of those dog Insta pages? We could do a feature of him on Blogs and Dogs.
We could.
Blogsanddogs.org, check it out.
Can send you some very good shots. We've got some good pictures. I'm terrible for posting. I'm terrible for, like, social media. Actually, I'll be very comfortable posting pictures of him because he's beautiful. So maybe I should. Maybe that should be my outlet. It's a big time commitment. I just don't have the time. But he's very pretty.
So on the time front, how do you balance? Do you find it stressful? Because obviously if you're a type A driven person, you obviously want to do this, that and the next thing. But there's only a limited amount of time to do it in.
Yeah.
Like, is that a tension that you find difficult?
Yeah. I think I've got better at it. Mainly just as, again, I think it all ties in with, like, if you kind of get a bit more confident in your role at work and you kind of feel a bit more like you can, you know, push back a little bit and say, you know, but when you first, I think in any industry you go into it and you want to do the best job you possibly can and you're working all hours of the day and you compromise things that you look back on and you're like, I shouldn't have done that and I should have, like, given more time to... And I remember having conversations with, like, people at the time being like, no, your health comes first. And I'd be like, no, but I have to do my job. Mm-hmm. And then you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, that was the wrong decision.
Why do you think you were so, like, job, career driven? Or not, like, were, like, past tense, I suppose, are. But, like, maybe more so.
Yeah, I definitely think I am less now in the sense of, like, in the more, like, other things are as important now. But there was definitely a period of time where it was definitely the most important, which is wrong. I think it's because... I think it's all that stuff that when you start out as a kid, isn't it? So I went to a really academic school. I loved it. I loved studying. I was such a nerd.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God. I was such a nerd. Like, and proud.
What was your favourite subject at school?
Oh gosh. Probably, this is going to sound very unnerdy, but probably art. But I just loved it. I loved revising.
Fucking hell.
And
don't worry. Cut this out.
It goes into that appealing of, like, I loved ticking things off and, like, just doing it and finishing things and, like, you know, it's kind
You're
of
ticking
like,
off all the listeners. You got, like,
I just got that satisfaction and it's like, yeah, so I was a big nerd. And then it's like, yeah, it was that level of, like, you achieved it and then you move on to the next thing, you achieve it. And I think the danger is that, like, you then get to work and unlike school and uni, which has an end goal of, like, you finish your exam, you've achieved it, then you get your summer holidays and stuff. Work is just endless in that, like, you achieve it and then, like, great, well done, next thing. And so I think it was just that I got into that absolute hamster wheel of, like, I'll just do it again and I'll do it again and I'll do it again. And, like... You kind of got the same hit of, like, great, you know, I've achieved it, and someone's, you know, give you a pat on the back and whatever if you're lucky enough. But half the time they don't when you get older. And I think that's the other surprise, isn't it? Is that, like, you're like, you know, the pat on the back, it might be from your parents or from a tutor or from whoever, and then you get to work and you're like, oh,
tell me I'm special.
Yeah, tell me I did a good job. Yeah. And they're like, no, you did your job. Go home, like, minimum.
I think the thing with a career as well, and not to over deep it, but to your point, if you kind of went through that phase or journey, in want of a better word, of, like, self-discovery in your 20s, right, which I think a lot of people, way more people than we probably think, because you're, like, a kid, and you're like, what the fuck do I do in this world? Because you go from the structure of, like, primary school, secondary school, uni, and it's very structured. You've got something to aim for the first, like, 21, 22 years of your life, and then you're like, oh, Jesus, now it's, like, infinite. Yeah. What do I do? And it's very easy to commit your life to your career because that kind of saves you having to then, like, think about anything else.
Yeah.
Because it's there. And I know there are obviously, like, a lot of people who are very career ambitious, but I can't help but feel there are probably a lot of people who commit their life to their career because they don't really know what else to do.
Yeah. And I think I'd probably fall into that category. Because you're right, there's people out there who are like entrepreneurial and they've got this big dream. And I don't think I didn't have a dream of like, I want to, I don't know, you know, like build, like, I want to be a star architect and like build X buildings and be, you know, famous and well known. God, I can't think of anything worse than being famous. But
you will be after this podcast.
Oh, I might have a very select group of listeners. But like, I think, yeah. And then, but then you're right, is that it kind of saves you from having to do that exploration of like, well, what do I want from life? And what do I want to, you know, leave as my legacy and all those things? And you're just like, I didn't know. And so you're just like, well, you just dedicate yourself to your career then. And then you're like, oh. And I think I was even more in that like, I did a vocational degree. And so, yes, okay, you don't have to do architecture when you come out. There's no obligation to have any, but it's also like, and it's there for you on a plate, go to a practice. And so I think I'm only hitting that point now where I'm like, maybe I don't want to do architecture anymore. Maybe I want to do something else. Maybe I want to kind of, and I think in a way I prefer that it's happened now because I feel I've got a little more confidence in, you know, I'm not, I can do things. And yeah. I've held down a job for a period of time. And so maybe I can, you know, have a bit more flexibility. Whereas I think, yeah, it's really frightening when you come out of school and you do it at 18 or like, or of uni, you're at 21 or whatever time you finish it. And it's like, suddenly it's like, off you go. And you're just like, okay. Like, and I think, you know, there's obviously roots of like grad schemes and stuff. But again, people then end up going into those and they don't necessarily want to do them because it's like, well, there's just too much choice. Or there's like, it's scary. So that, yeah, it's a nice path to do and you do get kind of a bit more structure. And yeah, it's an interesting one.
I think it's fairly common. And then after a few years, I think it seems to be relatively common, like in your 20s, to be like, right, boom, career. And then whether it's an age thing, whether it's Jesus, surely there's more to life than this thing. I feel like, or whether it was a post-lockdown thing, I mean, who knows, or a combination of all three or multiple things, like you tend to then, into your 30s, like optimize more for like a more holistic life or a better work-life balance. So yeah, you've got your work stuff, but then you don't want to just be constantly working.
Yeah.
You want to have time outside of work to travel.
Yeah.
Do drawing, walk your dog, yeah. Whatever it is. I think that is quite a common transition that people go through.
I think you find what brings you joy, don't you? Is that like, I think you realise that, and also there's that whole element of like, you know, a sort of when you're in your 20s and you're kind of like, part of the joy is like, finally like, having money. Like, you know, your own, and you're like, you're going out and you're like, oh, it's exciting. And sort of that fills that joy. And then I think you kind of then get to a point, and that obviously happens at different periods of time for different people, depending on their situation. But as you progress a bit further along, you're suddenly like, oh, maybe that doesn't bring me as much joy anymore. And like, my job isn't bringing me joy. So what is? And so then you start to like explore for things that you're like, well, you know, maybe it's something else. And I think for a lot of people, it's like, yeah, finding, you know, they go back to those things of like, that brought them joy as a kid. So like, you go and find a club, don't you? Of like, whether that's like drama or like, you know, a sport, because you're just like, oh, I want to find that thing again. And it's nice. It's like, you kind of, and then I think, yeah, it plays back into that if your job isn't that thing that's giving you the source of joy, which for some people it is, but if it isn't, you then start to be like, oh, okay, right, I don't need to dedicate like extra hours of my day to this that I'm not being paid to do. Yeah. I'm going to go and spend my time and money doing the thing that brings me a little bit of happiness that's outside of that.
So funny enough, and I'm going to butcher this, but there was this team of sociologists that measured people's happiness levels. And they didn't do the standard thing of basically ask people how happy they are, because obviously the thing with research is that it's highly inaccurate because people don't say what they think and people don't do what they say.
Yeah.
What they did instead, and again, I'm going to butcher this, but hopefully the sentiment comes across, is basically like measure it based on how much of people's lives they didn't want to fast forward. So, you know, if you're like, I don't know, in the queue, you know, in a shop, or commuting, or I don't know, just kind of waiting to go to bed or whatever it is. Mm. You're kind of like, ugh, I'm over this. I just wish it was done. the people who wanted to fast forward less of their lives were almost by definition happier because they were enjoying more of it, you know? And I think that ties in very closely to your point about finding things to do in life that you want to do.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big, I suppose change in my life that, like, yeah, the career trap is very tempting because it can offer a lot of, like, status and money and respect and things that are naturally quite appealing. But I kind of realised, and I think it's with age or maybe God knows what, but, like, just trying to spend more of your life doing stuff that you want to do. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and just, like, yeah, and finding the bits that fill your cup and be like, I think a sort of stuff that's started to come out recently that I've kind of, you know, talked to people and reading and learning is that, like, and your life is in seasons, and it's kind of that nice element of like, oh, this is this season of my life, and so I want to fully enjoy the things that are part of that, and that acknowledge that it won't be forever, so enjoy them for what they are now. And then, and like, so I'm trying to see it as like, you know, stuff that I did in my 20s, like, oh, why, you know, why did I do that? And like, why did I like work silly hours and stuff like that? And it's like, there's no point, like, you know, there's no point regretting it. And it's like, you learn loads and there are big positives and that kind of stuff. But it's like, that was a season. And it's kind of like, it's quite nice to be able to say, right, that season's done. And now I'm in this one and there's nothing wrong with that. And it's kind of like, it's, yeah. And then hopefully the next one will bring something else. And I'll have to acknowledge that it's like, okay, I'll have to say goodbye to some things from this season and that's okay. Yeah. And
but I think it's important to go through, because it's very easy to hear like, oh, you know, it's really bad for you to work 80, 90, 100 hour weeks, whatever it is. But it's only until you experience it that you realise, yeah, that is for me or that isn't for me. Mm. So it's very easy to look back and regret, like, why did I spend so much time working? But it's not until you do that that you realise that that's not what you want to do, right? So, yeah, to your point, I don't think it's great to look back and regret it.
Yeah.
How do you, as again, like a very driven person, how do you get that balance between being ambitious and working hard and doing all these things, but not overdoing it and burning out and getting injured and just depleting your energy for life? Like, how do you, because that is like, that is it. That is such a tight, like, you know, tight road to walk, and one I struggle with, and probably.
I was gonna say I've not nailed it. It's a difficult. Yeah, it's because it's when you find something you really like, and whether that's like, I don't know, it's, you know, jujitsu or like triathlon or running or whatever it is, and then you kind of start doing it to the absolute maximum, and then you're like, this is getting a bit, you know, you're going a bit too far now. Just in the sense of like, yeah, you run your risk of like injury. And also it's like, you know, you do need to go and take time off to actually even get, to even to do the thing you want to do well, you need to do less of it sometimes. Yeah. And I think, yeah, I've not quite nailed it yet. There's some elements that I've got better at in the sense of like getting better at fueling for performance is a big one that I feel like has made a massive difference. And I think this year I'm trying really hard to be like not doing just like, extra like, oh yeah, and I'll do more running and I'll do more of this because more is better, because it's not always better. But it's hard to, yeah, I would say I've still not nailed it. And I think for me it's kind of like, it's surrounding yourself with people that will turn around and say to you, yeah, you really need to pull it back now, like, or just being like, you've done enough, like, and it's like, and listening to them and trusting them and being like, and whether for people that's a partner or for some people it has to be a coach if they need that, which, you know, I've never been coached personally. I think it'd be great to be, and maybe one day I'll do it if, because it's obviously quite pricey. And if you get the opportunity to do it. But like, I think as long as you've got somebody that's going to say to you like, oh no, you know, like you're doing enough. And then I think also as well, I think if you've got a goal in mind of something, whether that's sport related or work or whatever, I think actually when you achieve that goal and giving yourself the time to enjoy it and be like, do you know what, I did do that and that's mine and nobody can take that away and I worked really hard for that, and giving yourself time off I think that's really important. And I've kind of, I'm getting there with that. But from like a day-to-day basis, yeah, I have to always check in and be like, no, it's a bit much. Like, you need to reel it back.
100%. You actually said something I found really interesting there. Three words or four. Fuel for performance. Three words. Again, talking about maybe age transitional outlooks on life, I found that that was a huge difference between exercise in, say, teens, 20s, and then into 30s, where, like, when I was younger, it was so aesthetic-based.
Yeah.
And now it's, like, yeah, I would say performance-based and even longevity-based, which, speaking for myself, although you probably don't quite get the same number of, like, ego peaks in terms of, oh, smash that PB, whatever it was, lift, run, blah, 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 it's overall more enjoyable and way more sustainable because yeah. you're less harsh on yourself, I think. Especially, like, we literally went on a run just now, and it was just the fact that we were running. There was not, who cared what time we did it in, you know? And yeah, it feels like it's an overall healthier relationship with exercise and even nutrition. Is that something you have felt and experienced?
Yeah, I think I completely agree with you in that. I think, obviously, again, it's like depending on what situations people are in, and like school obviously has an impact on people, and uni has an impact on people, and like your relationships with people in terms of like how you feel about yourself. And I think it can have a really like both positive and negative impact on you, that if something happens or someone says something, it can like dig you into a hole. And then I think whether or not it's sports related or not, for me before it was, I think I've not always had the best relationship with like my own body image, and I think I would say that majority of the population probably feel that way, that at different points in their life they've not had the best relationship with it. And I think sadly for some people it lasts a really long time, some people last forever, some people it's a patch of time and then they get sort of, you know, they can kind of come to terms with it, or they're able to create coping strategies. But I think for me the one that what really helped was finding a sport that I could tangibly see that the better that I fueled for it with the right things, and the right things not being like some foods are right and some foods are wrong, but in the sense of like, I need, you know, carbs at this time to run faster, and I need this at this time to like recover better, that it gave you that element of like, oh, it's actually quite, you can enjoy it, and you can be like, and to not be, and by do not like, you know, I don't mean this in any kind of way, of the sense of like, I'm not regimented about it. I'm not sitting there like weighing out like what I need to have to make it, is, you know, I'm by no means any kind of like elite athlete in that sense, but like more having a general idea that's of like what will help, that then gives you that freedom to be like, yeah, you know, like, do you know what? Like I need to have whatever, two bagels before I do a big run to make sure that I'm gonna do it really well and enjoy the actual performance of it, whatever that performance is, like in the sense of like whether it's just to be like feeling great the whole time or to get a certain time or whatever. And I think it's, you start to then see like, if you can see the tangible like link to it of like the improvement, it's again, it's that hit of like, oh, it works, so I'm gonna stick to doing it. And I don't think I necessarily did it well at the beginning when I first started running. I was terrible and I didn't know what I was doing, more because I didn't know what I was doing rather than being like, oh, I didn't want to have this or I didn't want to have that. But I just didn't fuel correctly. And I've definitely done a marathon where I've hit the wall, which was horrible. And I'll never do that again. It's a feeling you cannot describe unless you've done it. And I think I was really lucky that it's a very niche Christmas present from my mother. But she was like, oh, you should speak to a sports nutritionist to like try and understand like what, and only for like, I had like 3 sessions with somebody. It wasn't like a full long-term commitment thing, but more to just be like how to fuel for a race. And I spoke to somebody and they were brilliant. And I was like, and she just said to me, she's like, what are you doing? I just eat more carbs. she said that very flippantly at the beginning, but then I like, broke it down and you're like, oh, like, and it sounds really like simple. But then when someone actually explains it to you and goes through it and you understand it and then you do it a couple of times and you see the positive outcome, it's just, again, it's, yeah, you're like, right, I'm doing this now, and it works. And it's great.
And it's amazing. And the relationship, you, and not you specifically, but one, therefore, has with food is like night and day, because it can go from carbs, bad, guilty, I'm
sugar bad,
blah blah blah, yeah. whatever, however you feel about yourself, to suddenly, oh, this is a beneficial thing, I actually need this yeah. in order to perform well.
And then you can enjoy it, and it's like, and then it like yeah. opens that whole world of being like, yeah, you want to enjoy food with your mates. And it's like, I've done so many training runs, I've got two particular friends that I run with, and we always spend the last like 30 minutes talking about the pizza that we're yeah. gonna have.
Yeah.
And you know what, it gets you through that last 30 minutes, because you're just sure. like, where are we gonna get it from, and what's it gonna have yeah. on it, and you're just like, and then you sit down and you have it, and it is the best thing you've ever had. Like,
it's really interesting. I think it's why it's and again, this is so much easier said than done, but why it's important to maybe not get jealous or envious of people who appear to physically be in good shape.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what is driving those people.
Yeah.
Like, it might be really negative self-body image, like the kind of body dysmorphia. And regardless of the shape that they seem to be in, they're just never going to be ripped or big or skinny enough.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, would I trade that aesthetic for that relationship with food? And the answer is absolutely not.
Yeah. But for some people, the answer is yes, which is,
well, yeah,
scary. And it's, and I would say that I've definitely probably at points in life fallen into that category of like, you know, you're like, oh, you're driven by, you want to look a certain way, or you want to fit in, and it's awful. And you sit there and it breaks my heart that I sit there, and if you see other people and they're in that space, and you're just like, and it's a not an easy space to be in, and how you get out of it, and it's different people getting out of it, is, you know, depends what works for them, and some people it takes a long time, and some people it's a smaller patch of their life. But I think it's, you're right, is that it's a, I now look at myself and I'm like, did my body get me into like that workout and that run, and was I able to do it well and feel really good?
Yeah.
Even if it was tough, and you're like, and I'm like, great, it did. So a part of me, and there's always a bit of you that's like, oh, I wish this was a bit better or this, but I'd say like 95% now, which is very different to 15 years ago, definitely be the other way around, like 95% bad and 5% good. But now I'd say it's 95% good if I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, it got me through it, and like,
yeah,
I kind of don't really care what it therefore looks like, because yeah, I'm like, great, I did that.
And I don't think it's, again, it's a percentage thing to your point, like 95%, but I don't think it's necessarily too bad to have a little sprinkling of that, do a bit more, because that kind of can, you know, drive you and yeah, motivate you, but it's a percentage thing, right? Yeah. You don't want that to be like the main fuel, I guess. You are now, and have been for a while, an exceptional runner.
Very generous.
I'm gonna rattle off a few things, and you're and you can build on these, but like 3-hour 20 marathon.
Oh, 3:19. That minute.
Oh,
that
minute was
is
it?
Important.
Boom. Yeah. Sub 3:20. Come on. Multiple ultras, like 10 ultras.
Yeah.
More. And we went on a jog this evening, and it was your third one of the day.
Only because of commute running. I would never advocate doing 3 runs a day. It's because I had to run the dog, and then to get here, I did 2 miles one side of the tube, and then I ran with you. Normally, I would never do... Max, because of where my office is, I would do like a commute run in the morning and a commute run home. But you have to be very careful with like, yeah, a double day is a lot.
Talk to me about running. The good, the bad. Let's start with the bad, because then we can finish on the good. What is the thing that you hate most about it?
What it does to my feet. I have the ugliest feet.
I mean, I didn't want to say, but...
and I buy the right shoes. I just...
Are you in regular pain?
Ooh. I have lots of niggles a lot of the time, and they move around.
It's a difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Between a niggle and an injury.
Yeah.
But again, it's understanding what's what.
Yeah, and it's been my New Year's resolution this year to be like, when I can afford it, to go to like... massage and get it looked at, and to, you know, put some little money aside to do it, because it is worth it and it does make a difference. And as you get older, you need it more.
And your collagen isn't gonna do the job, is it?
No, you need the guy to like tweak it back into place. So the bad, I think it's a lot, it can be a lot of stress on your body, yeah, in that you do have to be careful with it and to balance it. And it does have a, I don't want to say it has a time limit, because if, you know, you see incredible people that are doing incredible runs for their whole life, from day, you know, they've been running since they were 5 and they're running till they're 95. And I hope, touch wood, that I'm somebody who gets to do that. But I think in order to do that, you have to be brutally honest with yourself. But I think in a way that's a positive thing about, like, again, it's like your relationship with your own body and how you're feeling. And I'm not always good at it. And there'll be a amount of times that my husband will say to me, don't go out on a run, and I will go. But getting better. But I think, yeah, it's that being like, realizing that it does stress out your body and you have to be quite careful is probably the bad bit. But I think if you do all the protocol and like, and you fuel right and you look after yourself and you sleep right, you can kind of try and offset that as much as possible.
How do you motivate yourself to go for a run when you can't be asked? Or is that not an issue you face?
Oh, I'm gonna be a real dickhead and say it doesn't happen.
I love the word you were looking for, a real dickhead.
I wouldn't say I'm not always motivated to run.
Yeah.
But I can't, like, it brings me so much joy that, like, it's not, I just don't question it anymore. Yeah, I'm just like, I say I struggle for the mornings. Okay, maybe it's better this way. Mornings I'm always motivated to go, because I know it's going to make me feel better. Yeah. I love it. Running with Logan is the best. Like, or going to run with my run club is the best. So those are all like, I'd say, like, yeah, I'm out of bed and I'm happy. Running in the evening, I struggle with.
Like, especially when you're with me.
Like, more because I'm just like, I'm really tired. Yeah. But, like, so, like, I think that's more, like, discipline, is that I have to be, like, right, I'm disciplined to go out and do it at night. So, yeah, motivated in the morning, disciplined in the evening, which is why a majority of my runs are in the morning.
Ultramarathon.
Yeah.
Mentally or physically more difficult
than,
like, is it, would you find it tougher to do, like, physically or mentally? Do you see what I mean?
Do you know, like, it's gonna be really annoying to say neither, not in the sense that they are, I'd say they're equally
amazing.
they're equally, like, physically and mentally tough.
Yeah,
I think I've been really lucky that all bar one ultra I've done with friends. So, like, I've run with somebody that I've been great mates with, and we've just had, like, an epic day out. Like, it's just, it's hilarious. It's just like a day out and it's fun. And, like, I like run with people that are phenomenally better runners than me, and they are kind enough to run with me, and we pick places that are
like this evening. Yeah,
of course. And, like, but, like, we pick ones that we're like, that'd be really fun to go and do, and, like, somewhere we've not been, or somewhere that we're like, be great. So, like, we did the Northumberland Coast, that was amazing. I did the Lap, which, honestly, if you like the Lake District, it is the best ultra I've ever done. I had the best day out with my friend Jess, and you do the circumference of Lake Windermere.
Oh.
And we were also really lucky, and we had such a rose-tinted view of that day, because we had, like, 18 degrees and sunshine in the Lake District, which never happens. And I can imagine if you did it in snow and rain, it'd be miserable.
Is it hilly, or is it like flat?
It was like proper trail. Yeah, it was mega hilly. The hills were tough.
I was gonna say, how long is that? 50k?
75k.
Yeah.
So,
like, 56k into a 75k run. Are you not like, fuck this? You can't just be like, hey, I love this.
You do go through the dark patches. Yeah. I have had runs where you go into, like, this dark...
How'd you get through it?
Different methods. One of them, I listened to Harry Potter as an audiobook because I couldn't get onto Spotify.
Amazing.
And so I was like, what do I have on my phone? And I was like, I had the Harry Potter audiobook, so I started listening to that. And then I found my friend, because we got separated, and that brought me out of it. And we were both, like, clutched each other, and we were like, we cannot leave each other for the rest of this run. And then we were fine. It was so weird. But you go through these dark patches, and there's also the best mantra is low mood, eat food on an ultra. If you're in the dark patch, eat something. And honestly, it will bring you out of it. And, like, it just, it's magic. And you're just like, oh, I was just hungry. And you're like, it's just stupid. But you kind of forget, and then you realise, oh, this brought... So I think, yeah, food and finding something to listen to. I'm a big, not to pick up your podcast, but I'm a big podcast person. I will listen to anything.
Any old shit anything like this. Just,
but it's like, it just helps you zone out. Yeah, and it's like, the nice one is listening to people chatting, because you're like, it's listening to people talking without having to contribute to the conversation. So you kind of just zone out. And some bits of interest, you can kind of like, yeah, check in and check out. And then if it's just, I think those things pull you out. But I think, yeah, finding a race that brings you joy and something to like motivate you, whether that's scenery or just the adventure of it. James laughs at me because I call them like my safe adventures, because they're like going out for a day out, that's an adventure. But also there's somebody at every 10 kilometers with some food for you. And if you get really, really stuck, they will put you in a car and take you home, which I have done. I have DNF'd. And so...
Did not finish for any non-runners.
Yeah. And that's an interesting one. That was a day. But, like, I think, yeah, it's kind of like a safe adventure because it's like you're looked after and...
Have you got... What runs have you got coming up this year? Any?
So I've got London Marathon. So it'll be the second time I've done London, which I'm very excited for.
Are you fundraising for it?
I'm not. I was... jammy and I got a good for age, so I managed to slip in without fundraising.
Oh, nice.
Because that's a lot of pressure. And also, I think I'd get a lot of shit, because I want to be like, a marathon's easy for you. Mm. No marathons are easy for anybody, of any, and I want to make that clear. It's like, whether you're doing a 7-hour marathon, no, whether you're doing a 7 marathon or a 2-hour marathon, whether you've done 12 or 1, they're all equally hard, because it's like, whatever your motivation is it's like, It's just a tough...
Well, yeah, because if you find it easy, you just go quicker. Yeah. And therefore it's hard.
But and also, like, you might have a day where it's really bloody hot. Or, like, you might have a day where it's just like, do you know what? You just turned up that day and just didn't feel right. Like, and they're all difficult. So, like, yeah, I think lots of people say to me, like, oh, we would never donate for you because they're easy for you. And I'm like, they're not! Like, but so that's why I haven't asked. But no, so I'm doing London. And then I am going to do... I hope. I haven't signed up yet because I'm waiting for it to open. San Sebastian in November, San Sebastian Marathon.
Love that. Have you done it before?
No, but I want to collect the 5 Spanish marathons because you get a special medal if you do it. So I did Valencia last year, so that one's ticked off, and I'm going to do San Sebastian. And I'm also driven by the fact that James will come to the Spanish marathons.
Because it's hot.
And the food's great. So he won't come to the others. Yeah, he came to London. He came to support me for London. The others, he's let me go with my friends because he's like, you've got crazy friends that will go with you. And you'll have a great time. But the Spanish ones will come. So I'm like, San Sebastian, great food place. So we're going to go and do that.
That's a lovely shout. I think this stops recording in 3 minutes. So we're going to use those 3 minutes to talk Harry Potter. What's your favourite book?
Do you know what, it changes? I'd say at the moment probably
don't go 7th. Jesus.
No, that's... at the moment I'm kind of enjoying Order of the Phoenix.
Okay, yeah,
not always my favourite, but it's kind of fulfilling.
That's lower tier for me.
What's your favourite?
The 4th. I feel the 5th is like just kind of neggy vibes.
It does start
Harry
to get...
Harry Potter's
yeah,
always in like a
he's having
bad
a hard
mood,
time.
You know?
Yeah.
But good.
Yeah.
But a bit shit vibes,
it's
do you
tense.
Know what I mean?
Yeah. It was a tense year at school.
And then they bring it back on the 6th. The 6th for a long time was my favourite.
Ah. Hofflepuff Prince is good.
And then reread them all last year. And I think 4th now is my favourite. Never listened to the audiobooks though. Need to get on that.
Stephen
with
Fry.
Lord Fry.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah. When you're having a... Can't sleep. Harry Potter.
Who's your favourite character?
Oh. God, that's a big question. Probably... Hagrid.
Why?
Because he reminds me of my dad. He is,
yeah.
I don't know. He's just like... He's just the most wholesome character. He's like, not that my dad is fully wholesome, but Hagrid is just like, he's just out there to have a genuinely nice time.
And get on it.
And just, and be happy. And like, and he cares about things. And there's like, you know, and he cares about the defenseless creatures. And he just wants to like, he just wants to be happy. We can all learn
lessons
from Hagrid.
Don't we
exactly.
All. Well, Rosie, no pun intended, that has been magic. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. You're going to absolutely smash everything this year, especially the London Marathon.
Thank you. In, I hope so.
In a couple of months, and I'll come out to watch.
Please do. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thank you very much, and thank you all for listening.
Thank you so much.
Bye bye.